Thank you for that. We have been going through our series, why we have different ministries, and many of our staff members have been teaching through that. And so, Brother Chim, you're the last one, right? And he is going to be, are you soul winning tonight, right? Yeah, we had mixed up on the other one. So that is page number, if you have the books that we passed out, page number 23, Brother Chim's going to come.
So there was a mix up the last time, and it was totally my fault. I didn't want to shoot from the hip on this message, right? Can I take this off, Oscar? Oh, I can't. I'm not strong enough anymore. I see Pastor, he just pulls it up. Let me try one more time. Button on the back. Oh, here you go. Push. I see the button. Push and pull. There you go. I'm a lot stronger now. What you didn't see is I did some push-ups right now. Please turn your Bible to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. When it comes to soul winning, this is one of my favorite verses. It helps me to have the mind of Christ. The title of the lesson tonight is Why We Have a Soul Winning Ministry. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. Please stand with me. Luke 19, verse number 10. Seth, I think 5 more days. Did I hear that correctly? Come on, staff. I'm excited. We're going to be slave laboring you, man. Get used to it. I remember when I got a bus license. I was like, man, I'm so excited I got a bus license. I drove for everything. Really? Everything. Luke 19:10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. One more time, please. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I really do pray that you help us to gather something for the message tonight. I believe soul winning is the heart of God, and it's heavily on your heart, it's heavily on your mind, it's heavily built within your purpose. And I really do pray that you would help us to be better soul winners as a result of looking at the scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Most companies have what's called a mission statement. This is a quick summary that expresses a company's values and purposes of existence. I'll give you a little trick. Some of you guys will be looking for jobs. I remember when I was 18, 19, looking for a job, one cheat that I did was I went to the company's website. I'm laughing because it's a little deceitful. I went to the company's website. I memorized their mission statement. And then during my interview with the boss or whoever it was, they go, why did you want to work here? And I would just repeat the mission statement, reword it a little bit. You know, it's just my heart to help computer companies find their chips. You know, I just wake up thinking about computer chips all day long. And they look at me and they go, scratch their head. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to go ahead and hire you. Hey, if you're looking for a job, that's what you do. Yeah. Find the mission statement, because the mission statement expresses what's near and dear to the heart of those that are running the company. Yeah. You know, Jesus' mission statement was simple. For the Son of Man is come and seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. You know, there's a game that we used to play called hide and go seek. And one of the purposes of hide and go seek was to go find the people that were hiding. Yep. You know, I'm thankful that Jesus loved me enough to go seek after me. Yep. He didn't just look for me. He sought after me. He looked everywhere. While I was continuing in sin, while I was doing my own thing, while I was pursuing my own goals, God was looking diligently for me. And that's what his purpose was all about. His purpose in coming to earth, being born, living a sinless life, and dying on the cross, and let's not forget his soul winners to bring him out of the grave, rising again on the third day. All of this was done for the souls of mankind because he loved us. That's why he did all of it. That's why he did all of it. Or as Luke 19:10 says, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The reason why Jesus came to earth was to save sinners. And the tools that he has chosen to use to share the gospel with Christians. Right, you know, I occasionally cook. I like to have the right tools. You know, when you have spatulas or tongs, or I want to make sure they're the right ones. And when you use a ceramic pan or a nonstick pan, you got to make sure you don't have metal tongs. You got to make sure you have silicone tongs, or else you're going to scratch everything. It's important for me to have the right tools. You know, we just went on vacation. Actually, we just got back a little while ago, like literally a little while ago. So if I pass out, it's because of driving, right? But I was cooking, And one of my favorite tongs is going to be the small ones that have silicone tip, because I like to do things. I like to cook with them. I don't want to be too careful when I'm cooking a steak or whatever. I want to be able to flip the meat and just kind of go at it because I'm cooking and my wife's always hungry. Okay, so that is the purpose. I got to have the right tools. And for whatever reason, God has chosen to use you and I as tools to share the gospel. He said, who's going to reach Long Beach for Jesus Christ? Is it that church down the street? It's right here. If you've been given the gospel, which all of us have, God has chosen to use us as the tools. If our church chooses not to have a soul-winning ministry, which many churches don't choose to have a soul-winning ministry, then sadly, we will have less Christians that share the gospel with others. That's just the bottom line. You know, when I came to church in 1995, Pastor Myers was a lot younger back then. So was I, amen. But I'm thankful that the church that I came to, I don't know how many years ago it was, 1995, still aggressively goes out there and shares the gospel. Amen. Man, that's a blessing right there. Next here, two convicting questions to ask ourselves are these. What would we say are our values, our core values, and what is our purpose of existence? Answer that question within your own mind. What would we say is our values and our purpose for existence? And then follow it up with this. What would people say are clearly our values and our purpose of existence? Sometimes there's a different answer there. We may say, well, I love people. I want to see people saved. I love God. I want to serve God eternally with my life. But then when we ask people, when we ask our wives, when we ask our husbands, when we ask our children, what are your dad's purpose? What is your dad's purpose? And what is his purpose for existence? What are his values? Man, my dad, every Saturday, every Tuesday we have soul winning, he's up getting ready to share the gospel. Or it's not really important to him. Bowling, the bowling league, is his purpose for existence. The pool hall, or whatever you call them, billiards. No, it should be. Our values and our purpose for existence should be the same purpose that Jesus had. Amen? That should be it. Number one, we have a soul-winning ministry to be an obedient church. You know, one thing that many of us require from our children, I say many of us because apparently it's not everybody all the time. I mean, maybe all of us in here. We require obedience from our children. You know, sometimes you go to the store, obedience sometimes is optional. Some parents, can you put that away, please? What? No, put that, grab it, get it, let me see. Boom. Okay. I'm telling you, we want obedient children. Yeah. And if they're not sitting up straight, it's not optional. I mean, by the way, there's a quick child rearing thing here, and by the way, Brother Dan, you preached a great message the other day. If you allow your kids to have an option, they will take it. They will take it. If it's non-debatable, then it's non-debatable. It shouldn't be an option for us as Christians to obey God. A lot of what we see in Scripture, the commandments of God, sadly, Christians, we look at them as options, as a buffet. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to have any of that today. Oh, soul winning, I'm not going to have any of that today. I'm just going to have some of this fruit salad over here. No, you need the soul winning because Jesus commanded it. Amen. And by the way, he didn't just command it for the staff members. He didn't just command it for those that have been in church for 20 plus years. It's for everybody. Amen. Everybody. Next. We push soul winning because an obedient church is a blessed church, a happy church. A church filled with obedient Christians is happy. And by the way, I want to be happy, joyful, whatever you want to say. I want to be all of it. I want to be fulfilled. Some churches can't have Tuesday night soul winning or faithfulness rally. Here's why. Because if they did, no one would show up to support it. It would be empty. I'm thankful we have pretty good crowds on Tuesday and Saturday. Because the people of Pacific Baptist Church, which are the people of God, they believe in sharing the gospel. And that's important because if we had a rally, but then three people showed up, that's kind of embarrassing. And by the way, it's not embarrassing. It's not because Jesus is embarrassing. we would be the ones that should be embarrassed because we're not standing up behind the calling of God. Next year, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion. Sadly, many Christians are living as if soul winning is just a suggestion. Some are waiting for a call. I wrote this in my Bible. Some are waiting for a call when we already have a command. You know, some people are going to decide, am I going to be a preacher? Am I going to be a missionary? Am I going to be a teacher? Am I going to be a faithful layman that supports the work of God? That's the only kind of layman that I believe in, the kind that supports the work of God, and we have plenty that do that here. But here's the question. What else does God call all of us to? See, some are waiting to figure out what God's precise will is, but in reality, we all have a calling to be soul winners. Amen. It's all of our call. It's not this guy because he can sing, or Gary, he's good special. Not him because he can sing, or not the piano players because they tickle the ivories, not the pastor because he's the pastor. It's for everybody. Amen. So if we're sitting at our seats tonight, the call of God is for you. Next year. Sadly, many Christians believe soul winning is good. That's a good thing, man. I mean, go, soul winners. High five. Just not for them. It's really good, just not for them. Think about that thought. Next year. We are obedient out of love. And by the way, one of the reasons why I hope, where are my kids at? They're over there somewhere. My kids are obedient to me. And by the way, I'm thankful. They're a little ugly because they look like me. But they're obedient for the most part. They need to work on it for the most part, getting that. But when I ask them to do something, sadly, it's a little embarrassing. I need help with my sandals and stuff because I pulled my back a couple weeks ago. And anyways, they'll put my shoes on for me, and I just ask them one time. That's a good feeling to ask your kid. Amen, parents? To ask your kids to do something one time, and they do it, that's a beautiful feeling. I scratch my head. I go, oh, are you reaping what you sow, Brother Charlie? No, I did not do that for my parents. I did not obey in that way. But I hope that they obey me because they love me. How many of you parents out there want your kids to obey you out of love? By the way, obey out of fear, whatever. Just obey. Amen? I'll take that. But at the same time, it's nice when they obey out of fear. You know, when my kids were younger and they were getting trained. Amen? I know I'm on the internet here. Timeouts. Trained with timeouts. And the timeouts started to hurt a little bit because they were just long, extensive separation, you know. One reason why I don't like solely timeouts because it creates a separation, but that's a sermon for another day or a dinner for another day if anyone wants to talk about it. Just pay for my meal. But anyways, when I was training them, you would have a timeout machine in your hand, and sometimes the little ones, They would look at you, yes, Dad, and they would look at your hand. Yeah, okay, take a shower, okay. Anything they did, they looked at your hand first. You know what, that's wonderful, I'll take it. But somewhere down the line, when they're like 20, hopefully, they'll stop looking at my hand, and they'll obey out of love. Yep. You know, God wants us to obey out of love. And hasn't he given us enough reasons to love him? Yeah. He really has. Next year. Because kids love their parents, they do what they say. Because we love our jobs, we do what we can to help our workplace. Because we love Christ, we can't help but to invest our time to go out there and share the gospel. Because he died for sinners. And they won't know about what he did, what he already did, if we don't go out there and tell them. It's almost as if he wasted his sacrifice next year. This means putting our hobbies aside, putting our entertainments aside, putting our fears aside, fears of getting rejected. We are obedient out of gratitude. Psalms 95, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, let me turn it real quick. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And by the way, we should come to God as the rock of our salvation. Thank God for our salvation. Amen. We should come to him with thanksgiving. What has God done for you that you recognize and thank him for? And then also, follow-up question, what has God done for you that you haven't thanked Him for yet? Have you ever done something for someone and they didn't thank you? It's not a good feeling. Well, yes, everybody wants to be thanked, but one of the main reasons why I like to be thanked, follow me here, is because I want them to know that I cared enough to do something for them. I want to endear my relationship with them. If I do something for my wife, it isn't just to do it to mark something off in my husband book. But it's to do it so my wife knows, man, he loves me. He remembered me. He thought about me. That's why we do it. Let's make sure that we are gracious. We're grateful, sorry, for what God has done. I'm thankful for God's daily provisions, all the things that He's done for us. Think about it. I wake up in the morning, I don't have an issue with food in the refrigerator, thank God. I wake up, I don't have to get a ride to go to church. By the way, some people ask me for rides and stuff like that. I don't mind, but I'm thankful I don't have to get a ride. And many of you do not have to get rides. That's a good thing that God did for us. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful I don't have to wait for someone to have enough time or courage to come and tell me. I don't have to wait for someone to come knock on my door. Hey, excuse me, can I give you an invitation to our church? Can I give you an invitation to Jesus, I like to say? I don't have to wait for that. I'm standing here tonight as a 41-year-old, saved, blood bought by Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to wait for anybody to tell me anything. But here's the thing. People are waiting for me. 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, I was able to witness to four people. They didn't get saved, but four people I shared the gospel with. You know, they may not admit it, but they may not have enough wherewithal, spiritual wherewithal to understand it. But that was the first time they heard the gospel, all four of them. The first time they heard the gospel. In America, you know, we hear a lot about, oh, you know, they have some people have a lot of chances, and I get it. But at the same time, some people never heard clearly for the first time, even in America, even in Long Beach. Were we in Long Beach? Yeah, we're in Long Beach. But I don't have to wait for someone to come tell me. People are waiting for me to go tell them. By the way, here's the thing. People are waiting for you to go tell them. Your neighbor that you say hi to every now and then, they're waiting for you. It's good for you to comment on their lawn every now and then, but somewhere deep down inside, if you have an eternal mindset, which we'll talk about in a little bit, they're waiting for you to go a little further than just how the grass looks. There's a couple of neighbors that I have, and my wife, she's not in here. Oh, discipleship. She knows we have a plan. And we all know that if you want to lead someone to the Lord, you got to take them out to eat first, amen. They better. And then if they don't want to get saved, they're paying for their own bill. Take that off the internet, please, in case my neighbor's watching. Just kidding. Next year, we have a soul-winning ministry to have an eternal mindset. The Bible tells us in Philippians, let this mind be in you. Which mind? The mind of Christ. You know, a lot of times we have our own mind. Our mind is filled with our own ways. But it's right to have an eternal mind. Yep. And by the way, that's why we have to be very careful, and hopefully I don't step on any toes here. So be very careful to have arguments with unsaved people. Not to say that they'll never do anything to irritate you. It's okay to be irritated every now and then. But watch out for the grudges. Because your grudge as a soul winner, maybe the only soul winner that they know of, may be a ticket for them straight to hell. Think about that. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad, but it's not worth the grudge. You're going to bed thinking about how they burned you on something. Well, they're unsaved. And you as a Christian that's saved, that has the answer for hell, if we hold on to a grudge, whether if it's someone out of the country or someone across the city, just be careful for their sake. Let go of the grudge. Have that eternal mindset. Next year, number three, we have a soul-winning ministry to perpetuate Christianity. That's how people are added to the local church. And by the way, on Tuesday nights, I was on vacation the other day, but the last Tuesday nights I was here, and I saw people that just got saved. That's a good thing. That means that what you're doing is you just received Christ and you're doing something about the gift that God gave you. And you want to go give that gift to somebody else. You want to perpetuate it so it continues and never dies. Added people become the future soul winners, and so on and so forth. Or so forth and so on. That's better. Next, number four. We have a soul winning ministry because there is a hell. We have a soul winning ministry because there is a hell. I won't take time to read Luke chapter 16 here. But the characteristics of hell. First of all, the Bible describes hell as a place of darkness. A place of what?
Darkness.
2 Peter 2:4, the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Yeah. It has been said that the hotter the flame, the darker the flame. A candle has a yellow flame, while a gas, which is hotter than a candle, has a dark blue flame. Science has now discovered what they call a black flame, which never totally consumes its object. Does that ring a bell? And gives off no light. Hell is called the chains of darkness. It is a place of fire. The rich man, in Luke 16, in hell said, "I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame." Revelations 20:10 tells us that hell is a lake of fire. It will be a bottomless pit, Revelations chapter 20 tells us. It will be a place of memory. Here's a thought. What memories are you establishing in the people that you know now? I'm not talking about the memories that they will have in hell, because the Bible does teach us that hell will be a place of memories, but I'm talking about now. Maybe when they're on their deathbed, they can recount with the memory that they have of you sharing the gospel to them. You never know. My grandma passed away 2001. I don't like to talk about this a whole lot. The truth of the matter is, I'll be honest with you, I don't know where she's at. And there's a high probability she's in hell. But there's a sliver of chance. 3 days before she passed away, before I got that phone call, I was on the phone with her. I was singular wireless. That's what I had. Nokia. Big old brick phone. I was on my phone with my grandma while I was at work, Applied Materials, and I spoke to her for like all of my lunch or my dinner, a swing shift. It was about a 30-minute call. I spoke to my grandma and I pleaded with her. I asked her, "Grandma, I want you saved. I want to see you in heaven." Now, I did not know something tragic was going to happen to her, but the truth of the matter is, I didn't know. I was pleading with her, "Grandma, please, please, you got to get saved. Why don't you want to get saved?" And she told me, "I'm Cambodian, and on my culture, I would believe in Jesus, but that's the Western culture, and my family would." And she was telling me all these obstacles of why she wouldn't get saved. But you know, one thing she did tell me, she because in Buddhism, I guess there's levels of enlightenment. You know, when you don't curse and you don't gossip and you don't do this and do that. And she was telling me what level I would be as an 18-year-old, you know, because she'd know me that well, amen. But she was just telling me, "You know, Charlie, you be this and you're doing good and your life has changed and all that wonderful stuff." But at the end of the day, if she never accepts Jesus Christ, she's in hell. That's the first time I said it in that way. But at the same time, here's the thought. I'm glad 3 days before she passed, someone shared the gospel with her. Maybe when she was on life support, because I flew down. I don't know how I flew down. My brother-in-law or Pastor Myers was involved. I don't remember exactly the details. But I went from San Jose down to the hospital where she was at. L.A. somewhere. But when she was on life support, you know, and I guess life support in some cases doesn't necessarily mean they're still with us. But I didn't know. But I was talking to her, and all that I can bank on was the memory that 3 days prior to that moment, I shared the gospel with my grandma. That's it. That's it. Now here's a question for you. What memories are you giving to your unsaved loved ones? Will they have any count or account of the gospel when they're sitting in their bed discouraged about something, needing an answer for life? Will they be able to to rehearse in their minds the gospel being played out because you witnessed to them. That's a convicting thought. At least give them that opportunity. At least give them that. Next here, the devil's response to hell. The devil knows his time, which is to be in hell, is coming. He just doesn't know when. That's why he's so busy working. He's working within our churches. He's working within our marriages. I was going to ask for an amen, but that's not what I want to hear. No amens, amen. Our sources of arguments aren't on accident. If you argued about something on a Tuesday night and now you decide not to go soul winning, that's not an argument. On accident. It's on purpose. If you're arguing, getting ready to go to soul winning meeting on Saturday, it's not an accident. The devil doesn't care that you are members of Pacific Baptist. He really cares if you go out soul winning and affects eternity with that. Next year, our busy schedules isn't always on accident. I'm too busy. I got to provide for my family. I got to do this. I got to do that. Let's be careful because there's a purpose that God gave everybody. And within that purpose, as we try to fulfill the purpose of glorifying God and going out there sharing the gospel, God blesses within that purpose. Be careful for these blessings that pull us away from God's purpose. Working on Sundays, things like that. And I'm sorry if that's not popular, but pastor's here with us and he'll be with us on Sunday, all right? Next year. The devil tries to minimize hell's reality, and he works hard and is doing a productive job. Let's be honest, how many of us has truly thought about hell within this past week? How many of us have envisioned unsaved relatives, unsaved moms, unsaved dads burning in the flames of hell? How many of us have done that? And if we haven't, the devil's doing a pretty good job of minimizing its reality, at least in our minds. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. I'm just telling us, let's think more about eternity. That's called an eternal mindset. Next year. Hell is real. We prove hell's reality by our relationship that we have to soul winning. We prove hell's reality by the relationship that we choose to have to soul winning. Is hell a reality to us? What is our relationship to soul winning? What is it to Tuesday? Are we just too busy? Do we not care enough about the people that we're going to be interacting with? I'll be honest with you. Part of my job is hosting people. I have a class and I enjoy it. But talking to strangers isn't always my forte. What I like to do, I just have vacation. I like to just go in my room sometimes and just sit there. Oh, what a good vacation. I don't have to talk to anybody right now. What a wonderful vacation. But when I come to church, how you doing, brother? Good to see you, man. What's God doing in your life? Go back. My office is there. It's not my nature to talk to strangers, especially strangers that are a little grumpy. You know, you got a gospel tract in your hand. Hey, did you get one of these? What do you want? Oh, nothing. Tell me how hell feels. Listen, it's not my nature to want to go talk to someone that doesn't want to talk to me, especially when I think within my heart that I'm trying to share the gospel with them. But is hell a reality to us? Is it real to us? Why people don't go soul winning? First of all, they're legitimately sick. There are people that are legitimately sick. And by the way, let me say this. Some people in our church say, I'm not sick. I'm not bettering myself here, right? But I don't think I'm handicapped. There are people that are legitimately handicapped, and we had a few of them back there. They're legitimately sick. And by the way, they cannot come. They cannot come, but there's a lot of people that claim to be, that could be here, but in reality, they're not. Let's make that clear. Next year, they're doing house chores on a day where they could be affecting someone's eternity. They're doing house chores. Now, by the way, there are a lot of house chores in our home, especially laundry. Man, laundry is just never-ending. You ever heard of the never-ending gobstopper? I feel like laundry is like the never-ending gobstopper. It just never ends. It's like, oh, where'd that come from? You know, to expedite I have five kids. To expedite laundry at our home, one thing I did was, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to because I already started it. The socks is the hardest part for us. Oh, man, especially when the kids are close in age and close in foot size. I just want to put them together if it's white. And then there's different patterns for white socks. There's the straight, there's the wiggly and all that stuff. I'm like, ugh. So what I did is I called my kids over. I said, all right, I'm going to buy everybody new socks. And we're going to color code the socks. You are going to get blue. You're going to get this. And by the way, it's worked out fine. My wife has actually time to watch soap operas now. It's wonderful. So I did it for her. No. They're doing house chores. That's why they don't go out soul winning. They're busy feeding their entertainment. They got to go on their bowling leagues or softball or whatever it is. They got to go out there and have fun because entertainment is crucially important. Not really, right? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, right? Next year. And then lastly, they just don't care enough. And by the way, that's the sad truth for many of us. And there are times that I don't think I care the way I should care. I still got soul winning, but I don't think I care the way I should. You know, one of the tall guy that I witnessed to, some of you guys saw me talking to him, the 6'10", I never seen a guy that tall. My opening line to him was, excuse me, I just saw how tall you were. And I felt like I needed to really give this invitation to you because we don't have a tall guy like you. We have like 6'7" guy, but not 6', whatever you are. And he told me, I'm 6'10". I go, oh, good. You could have been 7'. And then we started talking. I go, I'll be honest with you. He was the last one that I was speaking to. I spoke to two others really long. I said, I'm tired. And it's time for us to gather. But I couldn't help. I saw you. What shame would it be for me to see you and not even give you an invitation to church? What a shame. And he looked at me, he goes, wow. And I was able to share the gospel with him. Now, he didn't accept Christ at that moment, but he had a clear explanation of the gospel. Because I cared. Because I cared. And by the way, how many people will get saved because you care? What if everybody cared more for their neighbors? What if everybody cared more for their family? You know, I've been a little bit closer to my uncle, and I haven't always been the best Christian, I think, soul winner as I should have been. But when I came home from the hospital, you know, he was really reaching. We got really close. He stayed with me at the hospital a couple times. And I looked at him. I said, you know what? Boo. I called him Boo, Uncle. I said, what would make me happy is if you went to church. Oh, okay. Boo's busy. And I said, well, do me a favor. If you went to church, that would bless my heart. Because my mom, she's not here tonight. Before she went to church, I told her several times, you would make an amazing Christian. You ever met someone that's not saved? It's like, man, they would make an amazing Christian. Better than a lot of Christians we know, amen? They would make an amazing Christian. They're so kind, they're so giving, hospitable, whatever it is. And he's come 3 times since. And I have no problem talking about Christ. I told him several times. 1 time in the hospital and 2 times afterwards. You need to get saved. You need to join your sister in church. Next year, we care about what we make time for. And I'm done here. We care about what we make time for. There was a man, I have his name right here, but I'm not going to say it. He might be in heaven already. But Pastor Myers knows who this man is. He's an older man. He used to be in our church in Pacific. Older gentleman, probably the oldest man in our church at that time. And for some reason, Pastor Esposito talked to me. He goes, you know what, Charlie, can you do me a favor? Spend time talking to the older people, because the young people, all they want to do is talk to themselves. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm that weird. I don't know. So sure enough, he gave me that task. I went up to Brother, I was going to say his name, Navigators. I don't know if you remember. That was the club that he was a part of. And then I said, hey, I'd like to get to know you. He's like, okay. And then we built a great bond. And by the way, young people, I encourage you to talk to the older people. But anyhow, when I went to Bible college for the first year, he would write me all the time, Brother so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, Brother so-and-so. And I never made the time to call him or write him. And then when I came home, to Pacific Baptist on Pacific. Hey, Brother Charlie. Hey, Brother so-and-so. I haven't heard from you. I said, oh, I've been busy. You know, I became a bus captain. I was really, really busy. And he looked at me. He goes, Brother Charlie, we're all busy. It's okay. And then this is what he said to me. He said, we make time for what's important to us. Oh, man, take the knife out. We make time for what's important for us. And I looked at him. I said, well, it obviously wasn't important to me. No. I didn't. I felt horrible. And by the way, it's true. If soul winning is important for you, you will make time for it. If giving the gospel to a family member is important to you, you will make time for it. If giving the gospel to a parent is important to you, you will make time for it. If it's not important, it's pretty simple. You won't make time for it. Yeah. If people dying, going to heaven or hell is not important to you, you won't come out soul winning on Tuesday because there's a sitcom or there's whatever next year. We can be a big giver in the church, but if we aren't soul winning, we aren't showing that we are convinced hell is real. We can serve in the church, but if we are not soul winning, we aren't showing that we are convinced hell is real. My encouragement is, yes, Pacific Baptist has a soul winning ministry, but can you do me a favor, do us a favor, do God a favor, join the ministry of Pacific Baptist Church, soul winning, affecting the lives, eternal lives of everyone in our community. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to love soul winning and to really understand, dear God, that if the ones that shared the gospel to us did not care, did not love soul winning the way that they did, would we even be saved? Perhaps we would have just been given a tract instead of explaining the gospel. Perhaps we wouldn't even be here right now. I pray that you help us to give every lost person that we run across, Lord, the same opportunities that were given to us, to care about the same things that you cared about, which is to seek and to save that which was lost. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.